It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Late night, midnight on the interstate, and I didn't feel so great until I saw the city.
Welcome back to Straight from the Source with Michael Russo. Thanks as always for tuning in. I just arrived back from Nashville, just this very, very moment. Big, big, exciting win last night by the Wild. 5-4 in overtime. Dmitry Kulikov scores with 1.3 seconds left in overtime to get the Wild the extra point, a much-needed point, because the Anaheim Ducks blew a 2-0 lead to the St. Louis Blues, so the St. Louis Blues extended their point streak to 16 games. Feels like they never lose. The Wild will need them to lose at some point. They'll need them to lose four different times in the playoffs for the Wild to advance to the second round. But what that extra point that the Wild did was keep them on top of the Blues for home ice advantage in the first round. And the Blues have two games left at Colorado and home against Vegas, while the Wild have three games left at home against Arizona, Calgary, and Colorado. So if the Wild can take care of business, at least win out, they will get home ice advantage. Remember, though, if the two teams tie in points, right now they both have 109 points, the St. Louis Blues will get the tie-breaking win because they have the most regulation victories. The Wild have 10 regulation overtime victories, but that is no longer the first tiebreaker. 3 years ago, they changed that rule to just regulation wins, so the Wild cannot catch up to the Blues in regulation wins. So tiebreaker belongs to the Blues, so the Wild must finish with more points than the Blues to get home ice advantage in the first round, which starts May 2nd, and then I believe will be every other day for the Wild Blues series. Today's guest on my podcast, a former St. Louis Blue, former Montreal Canadiens assistant GM, played for the Oilers, played for the Flyers, played for the Blues, the Thrashers, and the Florida Panthers. Scott Mellenby is my guest, the second captain in Panthers history. The man that created the rat trick back in the day. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the loss recently of his father, Ralph, who was just a hockey innovator, a builder when it comes to TV broadcasts in across the United States and Canada, executive producer for Hockey Night Canada for years, but also did many, many Olympics, including the ABC telecast for Miracle on Ice in 1980. So Ralph Mellenby just recently passed away in January. We'll talk to Scott about his dad, and we'll talk to Scott about a lot of fun things, including the Wild Blue series. So hopefully you enjoy the podcast. Again, the Wild just rolling along right now, unbeaten in 12, or I should say a point streak in 12 straight games at home. They have a point streak overall for 10 straight games. They're 8-0-2. They're the eighth team in NHL history and the first since the Colorado Avalanche that won the Cup in 2000 and 2001 to have three separate 10-game point streaks in a single season. So that they're just rolling along, and they are, 19-2-4 in their last 25 games. So they are rocking and rolling. It's a shame the two hottest teams in the league will have to meet in the first round just with the ridiculous playoff format that the NHL has. You're going to have three best teams in the conference are no doubt in the Central Division. It's Minnesota and St. Louis and Colorado. And only one of those three teams can get to the conference final, and only two of those teams can get to the second round. But the Wild and Blues, two hottest teams in the league, both 109 points. One of them will not make it past round one. Yet a team like the Edmonton Oilers, you know, in my mind, have the easiest matchup. I mean, they're right now going to play in the first round the LA Kings. You know, just zero, none of this makes sense. But I would love to see them go back to the 1-8 format. Wild rolling along despite myriad injuries. Marcus Foligno has missed the last four games with COVID-19. He's supposed to come back Tuesday against Arizona. Matt Dumb has missed 10 games. Matt Zuccarello just missed his first game, and Jordan Greenway has missed his seven. Now, Dean Evason said that he originally said that Matt Dumba was a wild card to be ready for game one. Now he hopes that all three of the injured guys could get a game, at least one game, before the playoffs begin on May 2nd. So we'll see, but regardless, that probably means they're not 100%. And then last night, Jared Spurgeon looked like he hurt his shoulder as well. Got hard checked into the boards by Philip Forsberg. Clean check, came out of it awkwardly. And the Wild had to play 52.5 minutes, the final 47.5 minutes of regulation and 5 minutes of overtime with five defensemen. Their guys stepped up. We talked about Kulikov plus three, the overtime winner. Jake Middleton, I thought, was absolutely awesome. Just really good plays. And Kulikov made a great point after the game. He said, you know, to get by with five defensemen, they really couldn't afford to be spending a lot of time in their own end. And if you think about it, the forwards just did a tremendous job of helping get the puck out. The Wild really never had any prolonged shifts in their end, and that was integral with five defensemen. And so while they didn't get great goaltending from Marc-Andre Fleury, they did what they've done all season long, and that's outscored their mistakes or outscored their goals given up, and they scored five goals. Absolutely dominated the puck possession of the games, outshot the Blues 47-25, doubled them up in shot attempts for the second game in a row in Nashville. So really, really quality game. Kevin Fiala absolutely on a tear. By this time this podcast comes out, could he be the first star of the week after being second star of the week last week? Should be. How about this week for him? Four goals, seven assists, and just rolling along. Had the five assist game as well. Just has been absolutely awesome in four victories. But overall, in a 10-game point streak, he has 10 goals, 23 points, 38 shots, six drawn penalties. I think 66 shots on goal. Has just been absolutely scintillating. And last night, again, when they needed him most, he sets up a goal by Joel Eriksson-Ek, and then he scores a goal 1-10 apart at the end of the second period to take a 3-2 deficit, turn it upside down into a 4-3 lead going into the third period. And again, just you saw it, just undressed Mikael Granlund, the guy he was traded for in 2019, had an incredible celebration, talked some smack to the bench, and admitted after the game that it was always nice to score against Nashville, the team that traded him to Minnesota. So he is playing just amazing hockey right now. 84 points on the year, second most points in a single season in Wild history, second only to Kirill Kaprizov. So Marin Gaborik's longstanding scoring record in a single season has been broken this year by so far two players, Kirill Kaprizov and Kevin Fiala. Eriksson-Ek, without his line mates, back-to-back three-point games, was great again last night. Played online with Joe Cramarosa and Connor Durr. And yet, Eriksson-Ek winds up with a three-point night. So really, really good hockey. I thought Nick Bjugstad was great last night as well. As we mentioned, Kulikov, Kaprizov gets another two assists. He now has 103 points on the year. So, man, this team just keeps rolling along. It's been pretty, pretty doggone good. So trying to think of anything else to talk about. Looking forward to the playoffs. It's just going to be interesting to see how the Wild match up against the Blues. We know that the Blues are, 12-1-1 in their last 14 games against them. Wild don't play well there. Neither of their goalies have played St. Louis particularly well historically and this season and last season. Quite frankly. But right now, to me, it seems like Cam Talbot should have the edge to start game one. Marc-Andre Fleury is 8-1 with the Wild, but obviously leaking goals lately and just a lot of really strange plays. Last night, he was kind of flopping around. So just not very great last night, but the Wild did what they always do for Marc-Andre, and that's the way to pull out the win. And, you know, so obviously good overall. I still think you can get to that blue line, but it's hard to say that when they just keep on winning. You know, it's like you look at the Blues and you say, all right, that should be a, you know, something that's a liability for them, their back end, but yet they're 14-0-2 in their last 16. So it's hard to say that. And so the Wild are going to have to figure out a way to slay the Dragon, go beat a team that has points in 16 straight games, four times in a seven-game playoff series. You know, I think this team has the capability if they're healthy. You know, the biggest concern now is that even if they have all these guys back, are they 100%? We saw what Jarrett Spurgeon looked like on half a hamstring in the Winnipeg series in 2018. You need him to be really, really good. And right now, you know, there is obviously a concern that his injury last night, you know, is something that could keep him out in the early going. We'll find out. No practice today, so we'll get an update from Dean Evason Tuesday morning. On Jarrett Spurgeon. I am doing a Worst Seats in the House podcast tonight at Tuttle's at 7 p.m. If you want to come down, Wild GM Bill Guerin will be with me and Anthony LaPanta, and obviously we'll ask about Spurgeon. So maybe we'll get an update tonight as well, but most likely Tuesday morning before the Wild host the Arizona Coyotes. I really, really hope you enjoy this podcast with Scott Mellenby. It's going to be a fun one. A bunch of really quality, you know, podcasts to come, hopefully in the playoffs and hopefully maybe a long, long playoff run. Before we get to Scott Mellenby, here's a word from one of our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Really happy to be joined by somebody I've known for, wow, since mid-90s, 95-96, a special season for both of us, Scott Mellenby.
I was three at the time.
Yeah, I know. Sure felt that way. Yeah. So Scott is the second captain in Panthers history. You played many, many years in the National Hockey League, Flyers, Oilers, Panthers, Blues.
Yep.
With Ray Ferraro.
Yes, I did.
And I bring that up because we were in the Staples Center. We were in LA Forum one night, and he like, didn't you like?
Yes. The
yeah,
only time.
This?
Well, I was suspended twice in my career. Once was I got a game suspension because back then the camera angles and everything weren't quite as what they are now, and Ray and I had, you know, Ray was a competitive guy. I was a competitive guy, and we got into it a bit. And he came at me, and I punched him with my left glove on, and all of a sudden the blood came pouring out of his nose, and it looked on the camera angle from behind like I had crushed it because I had both hands on my stick.
Right.
It looked like I crushed him in the face, and he said something. He's like, "That's going to cost you." Well, he was right. I got a game.
Yeah, you missed the next game in Anaheim.
It was a Saturday, and we played Sunday,
yep.
And because back then they had a FedEx video
yep.
to New York to be looked at, and by the time they got it all worked out, it was with a match penalty, it was an automatic one game.
Yeah.
So I had to sit out the next day.
The other thing I remember about that game is I go down to the locker room after the game, and Jay Moore and Cuba Gooding Jr. are in your locker room because
yeah.
they were like buddies with a couple of your trainers, like Scott Tinkler.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, very cool.
LA Forum, seeing a couple celebrities.
Yeah.
So Scott Mellenby played over almost 1,500 regular season games in the NHL, 840 points. One of the great power forwards, one of the great lines in Panthers history was Garpenlov on the left, number 29, Rob Niedermeyer in the middle, 44, and you, number 27. And you are the orchestrator of the rat trick.
Yeah, I've actually got some requests right now. I guess I can say ESPN on the air.
Yeah.
I don't know, but doing something with them on Tuesday to kind of relive that again. And it's... Yeah, no, it's a fun piece of history, and I know all the guys that were a part of that team are proud of what we accomplished there.
Yep.
And I think, you know, it's great to see Florida having the success they are now. They're a fun team to watch. They've done a great job there, Bill Zito and his staff. And I, you know, for guys like me that started hockey in Florida and we went around in a van to malls where there was six people listening to us. And then there was eight people listening to us the summer we started going, who are these guys? And then we went on to be, we were successful early. And yeah. So I think for a lot of us, you know, it's kind of hurt to see the organization for so long become kind of a doormat. And so I'm really, you know, I want the Rat thing to mean something and the history there to mean something, but I want it to be a small part of it.
Yeah.
They have a bigger story to write and they're going to write that story over the next few years there. Yeah. And then people can stop asking me about the Rat thing because it's if it wasn't ESPN, I'm not sure I would do it.
Yeah, though that's pretty interesting because to me it is part of that lore down there. People ask me all the time.
You still see the Rats throw on the ice at the end of games.
Yeah, and 1996 was the last time the Panthers won a playoff round. To talk to you about to your point about being a doormat, and so hopefully they could do something now. That game I still remember like yesterday. You scored two goals against Calgary, and the story goes that you slapped a rat against a mouse against which we used to see at Miami Arena. Yeah.
It was a rat, actually, but Beezer's the one. Van Beesbrook's the one that kind of started it because then he said in the paper after that I got a rat trick. You might have wrote it, I don't know, but that's kind of how it started and just snowballed. And to look back and see the video now is something else. You kind of the amount of obviously the league stepped in and had to kind of make a rule about that. But it's a neat.
It'd be like 10-minute delays. Yeah, goals. Yeah.
I mean, I wish I was famous for five Stanley Cups, but I guess we have all of our place in history. Yeah.
But the one thing, last point on the Rat Trick, do you remember what it was like during your finals run, that Cinderella run, third year of the existence, to go to the Stanley Cup finals? You win the conference finals up in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But like, like walking into Miami Arena, there were scalpers selling rats.
Yeah.
Plastic routes.
I should have had a cut of it.
Yeah,
I should have somehow got a cut.
If you went to Eckerd, which was an old drugstore down there, or a Toys R Us, they were cleaned off the shelves, and they would literally sell them on the street, 10 bucks for a rat just to throw on the ice. Yeah.
Well, I vividly remember looking up at the screen one time, and Marty and Wayne Huizenga used to sit behind the net at the shoot twice zone, on just a couple rows up. And they were announcing, please don't throw things on the ice. You could be evicted, right?
Right.
And Marty Huizenga
was
jumping up and down with a bag of rats throwing them on the ice. Yeah. So this is one of the owners, right? So, you're going to evict her? Go ahead, right? So it was, a gratuitous announcement.
Yeah. You obviously, right now you're unemployed. You're looking for a job. Yeah. You are a longtime Montreal Canadiens assistant GM. Interviewed for a couple GM's jobs. You were actually a finalist for this job once. Yep. You're in Minnesota. What happened in Montreal to make you leave this year?
You know, I think it was a culmination of a number of things. I think it's a bit of a misconception that I left because I wasn't given the GM job. You know, that's not really true. You know, I've been told a handful of places now that you don't get the GM job, and that's great. And by the way, my experience here with Craig Leopold and Matt Maka and Mike Modano was fantastic. I put it at the top of the interview processes I went through. It was really, really well done. But, you know, I just felt it had become clear after training camp that Birch was not going to sign an extension. And, there's a few other things that I'd really rather not get into, but I just felt it was time to step aside and look for something else, take some time just to kind of, look at what I wanted to do with the future. I want to work again. I want to work in hockey for sure. As you said, I've interviewed recently for jobs. So, but I just felt it was time to move on.
Yeah, and you, that's one reason why you're at these games. I mean, you are staying very much involved in watching this sport and making sure that whatever your next job is, that you are ready to step right in.
Yeah, I mean, player personnel in particular at the NHL level has really kind of been my forte over the years and what I enjoy. So, Billy G was good enough to get me some credentials to get down and see the games and stay on top of, just be watching and paying attention. So, like I said, when I do go for an interview, whether it's as an assistant manager or a player personnel director or whatever the next step is, that I'll be, in tune with the league.
Yeah. One reason why I wanted to do this podcast with you is I was at Paul Mano's the other day in St. Louis having dinner.
And favorite.
Yeah, I mean, I am looking at all these old school. Paul Mano's is this incredible Italian restaurant. Is it Chesterfield?
It's Chesterfield or Crèvecoeur, but
it might
be Chesterfield.
So sort of the home of Luke Cunningham and all those incredible Blues first-round picks. A lot of them are from that area. So Paul Mano's is this Italian restaurant there. that years ago somebody sent me to, and I go back every single season. And I, what I love doing is when you leave there or go in there, in the hallway are a bunch of old school pictures. It is essentially a hockey restaurant.
Yeah.
And there are all these awesome pictures of you, a young Scott Mellon, yeah, all over that place.
Yeah, Paul and I got to be pretty good friends, and it's my wife and I, it's our favorite restaurant in St. Louis.
Amazing.
And, it was funny because you texted me and said, hey, look, or you sent me a picture, said, hey, look at this young guy. And I'm like, I was young in Florida. I was 34 in that picture, so yep. I was already getting a little long in the tooth. But I certainly look a lot better and younger than I do now.
Remember, wasn't it in St. Louis where you were like the oldest player in NHL history to get your first hat trick at the time or something like that?
Well, what it was at the time, and this got broken by Shane Doan, but I had 300, well, I ended up with like 365 in my career. I was a little over 300. And I had scored the most goals in NHL history without having a hat trick. So then I had a 4-goal game. It's probably the only goal scoring record Brett Hull doesn't have. I had 4 power play goals.
Wow.
They were all power plays. So, and I think that's an NHL record too. But I gotta cling to the things I can, like, you know, pat myself on the back. But and then Shane Doan actually, I think, went on to have a couple of hat tricks, but he actually went past whatever my number was, 3 something at the time I did
right.
it. He actually went past it, and then he did have a couple of hat tricks later in his career.
So you split time between St. Louis and Hudson, Wisconsin, pretty much?
Well, we were in St. Louis a long time. We were there for 16 years, probably total, between playing. Then I went to Atlanta to finish my career. Then we went back. My kids kind of feel like that's home. My wife's from Wisconsin, from, you know, close to this area.
Yep,
we have a lot of relatives in this area. So we decided a few years ago to buy some property. We moved here, and the plan is to be here full time. I have a son that's 26 with autism, and because of COVID, we were here for 5 months, and COVID hit, and his program shut down, and we've been kind of jumping through hoops trying to keep him happy and keep him. So we were back in St. Louis most of this winter to put him back in his program there, because we've had issues with the one here with the masking, which he'll rip it off because he has sensory issues. So this is home really now, Hudson, Wisconsin.
Right.
But we've just kind of been, COVID has affected us in a unique way because of our special needs situation.
Probably of all the scouts that come to games, you've seen the Wild more. I've seen you also in St. Louis a ton. So I thought one reason to have you on would also is talk about this upcoming Blues and Wild series. First of all, what has happened in St. Louis where that team is just absolutely on a tear right now, scoring, you know, point streak, scoring 4. I mean, it's just crazy how well they're playing and scoring 4 or 5 goals a game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think they're just a good, deep team. I think they started out the season pretty well, and teams go through lulls. I think their goaltending may have dipped a little bit there for a while. And as you know, like, if you're getting goaltending, you got a much better chance to win in this league. So, you know, Ville Husso's had a great year for them. Binnington's bounced back now. I think his last 4 games, he has a great 940 save percentage or something. So, but, you know, they're very well, like Minnesota, like, they're very well coached. I think both teams are very well coached. They both believe in what they're about and how they're playing. And I think, you know, this St. Louis team isn't the same St. Louis team from a few years ago. And I think maybe just building that, you know, remember that year they won the cup, they weren't very good the first few months.
Yeah.
And then they kind of figured out what they were, and that's the way they played. I think they're a little bit more of a skill game now than they were then.
Definitely.
And perhaps it's taken a bit of time to just find the rhythm and what they are and how they need to play to win. And whether that's maybe focusing on defending a little bit more because of, you know, when you have that many guys that, I mean, they got a bunch of guys that scored 20 goals, 8 guys, I think, like, you can get caught up in maybe playing that way too much.
No doubt.
And, you know, like I said, I don't know. Craig Berube's in my wedding. He's a close friend of mine, was my roommate in Philly for 4 years. I don't talk to him that often, so I can't give you a verbatim from him. But I just think they're a really good, deep team.
Yeah.
And they're scoring a ton of goals.
Yeah.
I mean, a ton of goals.
The one area, right, like, I look at them at 2019 as almost being deeper than they were in 2019 up front. The one area that maybe is not as good as their blue line, would you agree there?
I think so. I think everyone knows their group of forwards is their strength.
Yep.
You know, obviously, but, you know, you've got Krug and Falk there, and they brought Letty in, who's played really well for them. But yeah, I mean their defense, and I mean their defense in general, the back end, and just the way they played as a group of forwards and what have you. I mean they ran teams out of the rink in the playoffs that year. It was scary. So I think for sure, but their depth of forward. I mean you can't focus on one line and say, well, if we shut down this line, we're in good shape. But they go three lines deep of scorers. You know.
Yeah, I just had this heart like unbelievable like. Out of the blue, I mean, I'm totally changing subjects. This recollection of a Panther game in Montreal when you crash into the end boards. Yes. I don't know why that popped in my head.
Yeah.
But I just, watching you talk, I don't know if you remember, after the game, me and David Neal visited you at the Montreal General Hospital. Do you remember
did
this?
You? I don't remember that.
You were looped. We just went there to like make sure you were okay because we knew. Yeah.
Well, I guess it's time I said thank you. I don't remember it. As you know, I went into the boards kind of sideways and was knocked out for 30 seconds. I was unconscious and was taken off on a stretcher.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't remember that. Yeah. I really don't.
We show up in the ER and we basically ask where you are because what we were worried about was, one, getting an update because this is back in the day. You couldn't text people.
Yeah.
But, two, the team went to Toronto and we're like,
they did.
And I remember saying to David, like, do you think Scott has anybody with him?
Scott Tinkler, our trainer.
Yes. That's who we ran into and he brought us in and you were, and we just kind of like looked over you and just said,
I remember Tink and I, he was there at
the
start.
Best.
He's great. We were good friends. And I guess on a podcast, I can be a little bit grotesque, but I just remember him being in the room with me. The doc came in and obviously they're worried about any kind of paralysis.
Right.
And I remember, I don't know if that's the way they do it now, but he stuck his finger up my butt and feel the prostate and said, can you feel this? And I said, yes. And I remember turning to Tink and saying, let's keep this between us, okay?
I was not in there for that part,
No, you weren't.
Tink, by the way, if you're listening, Scott Tinkler is essentially the Tony DaCosta of the Wild. He was the head equipment manager of the Panthers.
Good man.
Back in those days. Yeah. And his assistant, Timmy Leroy, is in Columbus still since day one.
Great people.
Yep, great people. Back to the Blues. I mentioned you watched the Wild a ton. What do you think of this new Wild team right now and how good they've been?
Well, I mean, I think Billy and Dean Nevison have done a phenomenal job here creating a culture. I mean, it's Dean is a guy I played against and was a real intense player, big time competitor, and you just see it. You put the camera on him. I mean, people on TV at home see it. He's got that look, right? And I think the team is very reflective of of his attitude and approach, and they're a 200-foot team, and then obviously adding Kaprizov in here the last couple of years, it's amazing. The guy's an amazing player. There's no doubt about it. So, I think they're probably a little bit heavier style of play wise than St. Louis is now, which it shocks me that I would ever say that because St. Louis is really
used to be the big bad Blues.
And they still compete hard, but. I just love this is a team. Like, if you're a fan of the Wild, it's fun for people to watch a team that's a team, and to me, that's the feeling I get. I'm not in the room. I'm not around, but you are. Mm-hmm. So you would have a good feel for that.
Yeah.
But they just seem to really play for each other.
No doubt.
Seem to be really having fun. They buy-in and belief in this league really can take you a long way. I'm not saying. Just with buying and belief, you win the cup, but it makes teams teams. St. Louis had it in 19. St. Louis has it now, and these guys have it now. They believe in what they're doing. They believe in their coach. They believe in the style of play and what they're doing, and they seem to all have, feel good about their roles. And, you get guys like Mike Hartman and Freddie Goudreau playing the way they are. What did I say?
Mike Hartman, who's another player.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ryan Hartman. I saw Ryan play in junior, and he was always a hard-nosed, tough kid. And what he's done here is really remarkable. And that's probably the biggest, not to point the finger at those two players in particular, but I would say these guys are kind of putting a dent in the side of, the hockey minds that we've always said you build through the middle. And they're excellent players.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're not, but it seems like they're smart, hardworking players that have real extreme talent on their wings.
Yes.
No doubt. But they've done it for now. I mean, Hartman's got, 32 goals, 31 goals, something like that. So, but again, like I said, he's smart enough to play with good players, and he has enough skill to play with them. And I just think it's a fun team to watch.
No doubt. And actually, Bill Guerin has said that. He's like, look, if you can't acquire that true number one center, you could have really good wingers. Like Zuccarello is essentially the center of that line. You know, it's kind of interesting. Yeah. One Twitter person did ask, if you had to compare Tarasenko and Kaprizov, how would you compare the two?
Well, they're both Russian.
Yeah.
Vladi Tarasenko is a horse as far as size-wise, thick. Kaprizov seems to me to be a real thick build as well. He's certainly not as tall as Tarasenko, but he's a guy that at his size doesn't affect him at all. He's powerful, strong, gets underneath people. I think that Kaprizov, I guess comparing them, I would think he makes more plays than Tarasenko does.
Yep.
It's not that Vladi can't make plays. He made a hell of a play the other night on a power play goal to, I think it was Barbashev in the power play a couple of nights ago. I was watching the game.
And he set up the overtime winner in Minnesota, against Minnesota.
Yeah, and he made a great pass in game 7 in Boston to Shen in the slot.
Yep.
So he can make plays, don't get me wrong. But I think you think of Vladi more as the big shot.
Yeah.
And Kaprizov was maybe more the playmaker. But really, they both can do both.
Yeah.
They're both great players. They're difference makers.
Warm-ups are about to begin here, but I did want to ask you, in January, you lost your dad, Ralph. I had the pleasure of meeting Ralph in Montreal or Toronto once or twice back in the day when they're playing. But Ralph was executive producer for Hockey Night in Canada for 20 years, one of the great people in television. How much of a loss was that for your family?
Well, it's always a loss when anytime you lose somebody, whether my dad was 87 and no matter how, he had a great life and a long life. And whether somebody's young or old, it's still hard.
Yeah.
It's still hard. He was a beloved person by many people. The proudest thing I've always been about him is I've always considered him what I call an everyman. I don't even know if that's a word.
Yeah.
But the amount of people that over the years when I would go into buildings would come to me and say, how's Ralph? How's your dad? He gave me my job. What a great guy. What a great guy. And it could be a guy that was the floor sweep or the cameraman or Bobby Orr. Like it was, he just treated people the right way and treated them not by what their name was or how much money they made or what have you. He just was a good person. Yeah. And I hope I got some of that in me as well.
Yeah.
We miss him, but fortunately he didn't suffer a lot and he had a great life.
Yeah. And you got to be proud. I mean, like when I watch TV, like a lot of the stuff that you still see today is stuff that was essentially developed by your dad. He was Hockey Night in Canada.
Yeah. He had a huge impact on the game. He worked many Olympics, won Emmy Awards, did the Miracle on Ice game for ABC. He hired, guys used to joke and say, I'm going to follow Mel around when we're in Canada because Hockey Night Canada, because Cherry will be patting him on the back for something. You know, I could have a good line change in Don because my dad hired Don.
Right.
And it'd be like, oh, look at that line change by Mellonby. What a great line change. You know, so it was guys used to give me the gears a bit. But he had a great career. I think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
I agree. He's tried a little bit. It hasn't. They say they don't have a category for him. I think he's a builder.
Yeah.
I mean, we see it now, Mike. Look at this stuff you're doing right now. If you don't build through the media, how do you build the game?
Yep. No doubt.
And I don't know how there's no spot for him, but there hasn't been to this point.
Yep. Curveball, what's your best Mike Keenan story?
That I can tell. Yeah. I guess on here I could tell anything.
You played for him on the Flyers.
Oh, boy.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I've got so many of them that I'm not sure Mike wants me to tell some of them. But all I'll say about Mike is this. Mike was hard on me.
Yeah, he was.
And I think he believed in me. He was hard on guys like me and Rick Tocchet that he knew he could push our buttons and we'd respond.
Right.
But the one thing I'll say about Mike is everything he ever did at the rink was to make us better.
Yeah.
And to make us win and try to win a Stanley Cup, which we almost did. And away from the rink, away from the bench, away from the ice, he always treated me with respect and treated me well. So I know one thing. Once I played my first couple years for Mike, I knew I could play for anybody.
Yeah.
So he made me tougher that way. And, we've all got a few stories.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I do, too. Last question. You mentioned how tight-knit the Wild appear. You know, when I think of tight teams, I think of that 95-96 Panthers team and the year and the teams that you captained as well. How proud are you also? There's so many guys that were on that special team that went to the Stanley Cup Final that are still involved with the game, right? I mean, Tom Fitzgerald and Gordon Murphy and Jody Hull and Billy Lindsay. And I mean, it's so on. I mean, I know I'm forgetting a ton. John Van Beesbrook. I mean, it's Jovo's doing TV down in Florida now. Yeah. I mean, it's just pretty neat.
Yeah, it is. It is neat. And it's unfortunate you don't get to see and talk to those guys too much. You kind of run into them here and there. But it was a special group. It was a fun group. And I always say, you know, I don't care where you play. I don't care if you play. You know, I played in Edmonton for 2 years. The first year we went to the semifinals, and it was great. The next year we missed the playoffs, and it was too cold and the taxes were too high, right? So at the end of the day, I have great memories of all the teams I played on that had deep playoff runs and unfortunately didn't capture a cup but came close. But, you know, you know, those are the memories you have, the special bonds when you especially when you do it as a team, that's so gratifying.
No
winning
doubt.
One playoff round is gratifying.
Yeah.
Winning two, winning three, whatever. And when you do it as a group, it just is a special bond.
Yeah. I did a podcast with Tom Fitzgerald a couple months ago, and I said to him, I bet you never thought in 1995-96 that your coach as the GM of a team would be Lindy Ruff. Now, Lindy Ruff on your bench and as assistant coach on those teams. And
Yeah. Lindy was great. Oh, my God. Yeah. Lindy was quite a character. He showed up at our Halloween party 1 year uninvited in Florida. Quick story. And this guy walks into the house with scuba gear on, full scuba. And it's like, who is that? He walked out. It was at Gordy Murphy's house. He walked out. He jumped in the pool and sat on the bottom. He had the scuba with the tank. And he sat in the bottom of the pool for 15 minutes, and everyone was looking at him going, who is that guy? And he got up out of the pool, walked out the front door, and someone was waiting outside for him in a car, jumped in the car and took off. And he never, ever admitted it for 20-something years. I finally, about 5 years ago, finally got him. He finally admitted to me it was him. We knew it was him, but he never admitted it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
The one, I was just telling Brian Campbell recently this, and I've talked to Marty Barone about this. He played a practical joke. I'm covering the Panthers. Remember John Corman, the Broward County Sheriff Deputy that worked the visitor's room?
Yep.
He had John Corman set this up with some of his deputy pals. We're leaving a game in Florida. The Buffalo Sabres team bus is pulled over. They pull off Brian Campbell. They pull off all his bags, and they find all these illegal pills in his bag were placed in there. That was Viagra. And they literally put the guy in handcuffs and all of his teammates on the bus. And the person that set up the practical joke was the coach of the team, Lindy Ruff. Isn't that amazing?
I believe it. He was quite a prankster for sure.
Yep. Hey, this was a lot of fun. I really can't wait till you're a GM in this league, Scott, because I just think you'd be absolutely perfect. You're such a great hockey man. I hope I'm still covering the league when you're a GM, but either way, the game is better with you back in it, so hopefully that happens soon.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'm looking forward to getting back in it in some form, and it's in my blood, so this is what I want to do.
That is a longtime NHL player, longtime NHL executive, former Florida Panthers captain, the second one in history, Scott Mellenby. Here's a word from one of our sponsors.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Well, my thanks to Scott Mellenby for joining this week straight from the source. I have a long history with Scott, obviously, from my days covering the Florida Panthers way back when he was the second ever captain in Panthers history. I still remember that day when he succeeded Brian Skrulin. It was just a fun, fun story to write back then, and just really cool that here we are. It's crazy. 27 years later, and I still know Scott Mellenby. Unbelievable. Big week for the Wild ahead. By the time you listen to the next podcast, we will know if the Wild are starting home or road in the playoffs. In fact, we'll probably be into the first round series. This 3-game stretch at home to end the regular season will determine if the Wild
host the Arizona Coyotes on Tuesday, then Calgary and Colorado back-to-back Thursday and Friday to close out the regular season. Troy Terry of the Anaheim Ducks joins Craig Custance and Sean Chantilly on this week's Athletic Hockey Show. He'll discuss his breakout season, the retirement of Ryan Getzlaf, Tyson Nash and skilling it up, and a lot more. And Julian McKenzie stops by the roundtable with Rob Pizzo, Sarah Sivian, and Jesse Granger Wednesday on the Athletic Hockey Show. Follow us on your favorite podcast platform and leave a rating and review. Subscribe to the Athletic Audio Plus on Apple Podcasts to get all the bonus content from our entire network. This week, Ian Mendez and Down Goes Brown provide the bonus content. Start a 30-day free trial, then just 99 cents a month after that. And right now, get an annual subscription to The Athletic for just $1 a month for 6 months when you visit theathletic.com/straightfromthesource. Talk to you next week, everybody.